Talking Property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
He does. Thank you very much, Anthony. And Anthony will be back in business at 10 o'clock with another bulletin of 882 6PR News. Back in business also with us is Rob Druitt. How are you, mate?
I'm fabulous. Nice to be back.
Oh, and it was touch and go, mate.
I know. Yes, that's right. That's what happens, you see, isn't it? In the world of media, you go on holidays and then you're not wanted back.
New President Hayden Groves acquitted himself admirably last week.
Absolutely. No, he's very good. And I was actually listening to his segment, property segment with Belly on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, got a good prez there to follow Lord Airy into the chair.
Yes, exactly. And, big shoes to fill.
And I'll tell you what, the deputy, he has stepped up to the plate.
Yes.
He's not a bad sort of bloke either. We should get him in one day.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. He's come in.
There's one little issue with him, though, isn't there, that we're not absolutely happy with.
And the looks on the faces of those at the coffee club this morning said it all when I ordered for Damien Collins, hello Damien, a skinny mocha. Damien, what were you thinking?
We would have thought, you know, Deputy President, you know, future Rewa President would be a long black, something, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Look, gents, when I go out...
Double shot, flat white or something like that.
I go out for a lot of coffee, so I got to watch my figure and look at the, look at the results. Not too bad so far, so I'm sticking with my skinny mockers.
Good on you, mate. Congratulations,
right, mate.
Thanks, Harvey. Appreciate it. Yeah, no, looking forward to it. Hayden is going to be a great president, following in the footsteps of David, who did a tremendous job as well, so looking forward to supporting Hayden.
And you've been busy the last couple of years at Rewa. Were heading up the Finance and Risk Management Committee.
I was treasurer for the past 3 years, and just making sure Ree was on a sound financial basis, and enjoyed that very much as well. So
well done.
And is it?
It is. It is.
I can say Rewa is doing extremely well, which is great, because membership organisations, if you don't have funds, you can't do anything. So it's very good for Rewa members and the public at large, because it means that Rewa is able to advocate the property industry at large.
That's exactly right. And it means we can get out there into the media, and that's our role, is to advocate for the public and members, and making sure that the government keeps their hands off property as much as possible.
Yeah. There is one thing. Can I get on my soapbox here?
Yeah, go on.
And I was reading an article in the West the other day, I think it was Thursday. Investors get land tax shock. So we might have some callers today who might like to ring in about land tax, one of my favourite annoying subjects. And, of course, land tax has been increasing 3 years on a trot, and I think state government's gone too far. It is absolutely outrageous, the land tax bills coming through.
Definitely have, Rob. And this is, the big difficulty for the state government when they're getting losing all their GST. They've got really not much to look at. The iron ore price they can't control, so it's unfortunately... smash the property, and they've done 15% and 10% and compounding. Some of the valuations coming through are quite substantial increases, which really in some respects flies in the face of the market. So, and because of the very progressive nature of the scale, people are getting slugged sometimes, you know, 2, 3, 4 times what they were perhaps only a few years ago.
There's one property investor here, it's increased almost 100%. I mean, you know, and we talk about inflation. I mean, the biggest cause of inflation is government, isn't it, with their fees and charges. Yeah. But land tax, I mean, at the moment, obviously, we've got a soft rental market and a lot of supply, but that can turn around. And if it becomes too expensive... to have investment property, land tax is too high, people shy away from property investment. The ultimate effect of that is lack of supply and increase in rents. It affects everybody.
Yeah, and look, investors are definitely a bit thin on the ground at the moment with the soft rental market and things like that. So, yep, end of the day, rents will eventually have to go up to compensate the investors.
And Rewa's lobbying government in relation to land tax?
Look, one of the lobby points that we're focusing on this year is planning and development and tax as well. So we're certainly... we'd love to get rid of stamp duty and land tax, but obviously we have to be realistic that that's not going to happen overnight. But there's just got to be stop the continual slug on property investors, because at the end of the day, the investors provide housing, and if we didn't invest in the market, the government have to put a lot more social housing in, and it costs them a lot more than what it would by supporting individual property investors.
But I'd encourage them to make an objection. You can see that on the land tax bill. They get hit with a whole lot of objections. They're going to have to address it. And I think it's people power is what we need to address this issue with the land tax.
Righto, good-o. Well, as you say, our listeners might like to comment on that or anything else property-wise. We do do have a $100. We have $100 cash to dispense to someone before the end of the program. Thanks to Craig Gemmell, who stands behind Every Home He Builds at Gemmell Homes. 9221882. And apart from everything else that Damien does, he is a buyer's agent. Now, you've been on the program before. Maybe people are still a little bit uncertain what a buyer's agent does as opposed to a seller's agent, such as Mr. Druitt over there to your right.
Yeah, thanks, Harvey. So I guess a selling agent like Rob, he will be there to represent the seller, and obviously he has to work with the buyer and come to a productive outcome. But their role of the selling agent is to get the best returns and the best terms and conditions and prices in for the seller. And that's fair enough. The seller's paying them the commission. On our side of the transaction, our buyer pays us a fee, so we don't get any fees from the selling agents. And our role is obviously to represent the buyer's interests. So that can be, obviously, we're trying to get the best price. We're trying to get the best terms and conditions. And ultimately, though, we come to negotiate an outcome with the selling agents. And look, a lot of the times it works, sometimes it doesn't. We walk away, but quite often we come to a fair deal, and our buyer's happy because our clients are typically, they're time poor. They don't know where to look for an investment property.
I was going to use that term. Time poor people would be your, I suppose, the main source of your income, wouldn't they?
Oh, definitely. Look, our focus is investors. Most people, when they're buying their own home, obviously want to look the neighbourhoods around, go and see the properties. It's very personal taste. So home buyers are less than 10% of our business. Most of them are investors who say, look, I want to build some wealth, but what suburb do I go to? What's the best type of property? You know, if you're in a profession or a different job outside of real estate, you probably don't have a lot of idea what makes a good investment. So our role is there is to work with a client, develop a strategy, then find the best investment property that will match their
needs.
We've
just done a deal together, actually. Our two companies, Ray Chua, who winner of the Buyer's Agent of the Year, wasn't
Ray has won it in the past. He's not the rating... Kent from our office is the rating champ.
Yes, but he's won in the past, hasn't he?
What is your office, Damien, just for people who would like to maybe give you a call and have a chat about you representing them? And I take your point about investors, I suppose, being... or more investors coming through your door than just home buyers.
Yeah, look, our website's www.momentumwealth.com.au. Have a look around there, or you can call the office on Monday, 9221 6399. I'll be at the office today, but probably the phones won't get to me. But try Monday, and I'm sure you'll be able to speak to one of our buyer's agents.
Fantastic. Okay, we have got Mary of Warnborough as our first caller today. G'day, Mary.
Hello. Hello to you both. We've had a real estate agent. We're dealing with one. And, you know, years ago they used to sort of, I forget the word, I've got a Saturday brain.
click into your Monday brain. Conjunct, co-broke, do you mean, where the agents work together?
That's right. That's all stopped now, so we've been informed.
Well, not necessarily, but I'll tell you what, Mary, you bring up a very good point, and it has changed a lot, the real estate. When I started 25 years ago, co-broking or conjunctionals were very popular, and basically agents split the fee 50-50, even though the seller was paying the fee, the co-broking or the conjunctional agent was still working for the seller because they brought the buyer. The big change, I think, that's happened in the real estate industry is the internet. Internet's changed everything because from the buyer's perspective now, they're one or two clicks away from 99% of the market. Very easy for them to be able to assess the market and know what's on the market. Whereas if you go back 20 years, they had to wait until Saturday, the paper came out on Saturday, and have an agent run around for them and so on. So it's changed dramatically. Agents typically sell their own stock. From my personal point of view, I think that's a lot better. When I represent a seller, I would much prefer to deal with the buyer direct than through another agent. And then I'm in control of the transaction. I can represent my seller. And, of course, we've got Damien Collins here for Momentum Wealth, and that's the new phenomenon, is that buyer's agents have formed to fill in that gap for buyers that aren't in a position to be able to spend that time looking for themselves and want someone to help them find a property.
Okay, so you think it's better?
Yeah, you get a good agent here, but they represent you. They deal with the buyer direct. And then, of course, if you get a buyer from outside of that scope, you might find one through a buyer's agent come along, which is what Damien does.
What is the buyer's agent? Excuse me?
I'll let Damien explain.
So Mary, the difference is when the conjunction, which was the old school, as Rob said, when an agent would have a buyer, they'd bring them to the selling agent. They're still representing the seller. That's legally, they are still representing the seller, and so in that term, and a lot of the selling agents generally are trying to list properties for sale. That's their business model. So often they don't, even when they used to drive people around, it was sort of a sideline business to them. It wasn't really that, you know, as important as getting listings. So what's happened now is vast majority of selling agents stick to just selling. There's occasional conjunctionals out there, but not nearly as common. And then people like us who are buyer's agents, so you would come and talk to someone like us. We would represent you exclusively. So we're not selling property. We're not trying to get other listings. Our role is to find the properties for the buyer. And that seems to be, you know, it's still a small segment of the market, but it seems to be more and more people taking that up. In Sydney and Melbourne, there's more than 50 to 70 firms in each city. In Perth, we're still probably at half a dozen to 10. But I expect, you know, as people get busier, the market gets more complex, you'll see more people wanting a buyer's agent to represent them.
Hmm. May I ask you one more question?
Please, of course, yes.
All right. There's a house that the people I'm ringing for, is on the market, and it was on at $490. It went under offer. Then the under offer came off the market, and now it's back on at another $30,000 dearer. Now, what I want to know is, I spoke to this agent last Sunday, and I said, well, you know, explain what happened. And he said, because our last offer was $529 and was accepted, I'm not allowed by law to go less than that now. I said, but they didn't buy it. And he said, no, but by law, because their offer was $529, I'm not allowed to go less. Is this true?
Yes, to a degree. And what is really referring to is a subject called bait advertising, which we don't want agents to get into, i.e. they're advertising a price that the seller will not accept. Now, that is deemed to be bait advertising because, you know, you don't want to advertise the price. The buyers think, okay, well, there's the price and I make an offer of that, I'll be able to buy. Oh, no, the seller wants more than that. So I think that's probably what the agent's referring to, is the fact that they accepted an offer of $529. Perhaps the sellers are not prepared to accept anything less than that. Then the agent shouldn't advertise the property below $529, knowing that the seller won't accept it. Because otherwise it is bait advertising. You're pulling a buyer in when you know that actually they won't accept that price. So I'd say that's probably what they're referring to. And when you say you're not allowed to, well, that's right. It's against the code of conduct to have bait advertising. Of course, the reality is on the market for another 6 weeks, the seller is very likely to change their mind and realise that actually prices are softening and it might very well be worth $490 now or $505 or whatever.
Particularly if that first offer's fallen over there, Mary, the seller might be a bit more motivated now.
Mm. Good, thank you for that.
Very good questions, Mary.
Yeah, okay. Good on you, Mary. You're the clubhouse leader at the moment for the $100 from Craig Gemmell of Gemmell Homes. 922-11882 if you'd like to call us, and that's what we prefer. But if you want to send a text, if you can't call, then that is 19999-677. Or if you want to send an email, harvey@6pr.com.au. And after the break, we might just have a chat about the big property report in the West today, which goes into detail about what's been going on in every single suburb of Perth. Makes some pretty interesting reading.
Talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
Breakfast with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis.
One word I've got for you, Gary, Invictus. You were the hottest of favourites in that final as well in South Africa, and the South Africans beat you.
We're quietly confident, Ned, that we're going to be lifting it two in a row.
Hey, tell you what, Gary, we'll have a side bet with you. If we beat you, you can come back on the radio station on Monday and sing the Australian National Anthem, and if it doesn't, we'll ring you and sing the Kiwi National Anthem. How's that?
Absolutely done.
Wake up with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis. Weekdays from 5:30. Your city, your station. 882 6PR.
Have a property to rent? Need your investment property managed? DeFreitas and Ryan continue to save their growing number of wonderful clients a load of money with their flat 10% of the rent fee. No more letting fees, no more inspection fees, just first-class property management for 10% of the rent. And now they're servicing from Clarkson to Mandurah. To make the switch, call Miguel DeFreitas or Rod Ryan on 94996000 That's 94996000. DeFreitasRyan.com.au.
Rush in for the New Age Caravans 2015 run-out sale. There's fantastic savings on pop-tops, family vans, luxury vans and off-road vans. These prices only come once a year and all stock must go and are ready for immediate delivery. There's some real bargains with great discounts to be had in the New Age Caravans 2015 model run-out sale. See newagecaravans.com.au for your nearest dealer. But hurry, it must end November 15th. You don't want to miss out on these massive savings, so run in before they run out.
Harvey Norman, kings of the big screen. All the big brands and technology in TVs. Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic, TCL and Hisense. Ultra HD, Full HD, smart and even curved TVs. Buy any 55-inch or larger TV and receive bonus delivery and installation. Plus, buy any Netflix-compatible Ultra HD TV and get 6 months bonus Netflix. Conditions apply. Available in-store only. Delivery within 15Ks of store. Netflix offer ends 30th of November. All the big brands and big screen technology. Harvey Norman, kings of the big screen. Hurry, ends Monday.
People have purchased property in the past and been disappointed after learning they couldn't use the land for what they intended. Don't let this happen to you. A Landgate Property Interest Report can help. The report merges property interest information from a range of government agencies, like aircraft noise, plans for road widening, proximity to noise and odours from intensive agriculture, and many more. It's in your best interest to find out property interests before you buy. Google Landgate for details or ask your real estate agent. Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Star Special Events presents Australian music legend Russell Morris live at the Charles Hotel. Black Dog Blue. Performing hits from his award-winning albums and new album Red Dirt, Red Heart. Sailing on, I'm sailing on down the lonesome road. Plus the classics. Sweet, sweet love. Don't miss Russell Morris at the Charles Hotel, Friday, November 13th. Tickets available from Ticketmaster or the Charles Hotel.
Settlement agents, also known as conveyancers, are professionally trained to represent sellers and buyers in the settlement process, transferring the legal ownership of property. The Australian Institute of Conveyancers WA recommends you appoint a licensed settlement agent before you buy or sell your property. Consumers have the right to choose their own settlement agent. You don't have to use the one recommended by a real estate agent. Head to aicwa.com.au and enter your postcode to find a settlement agent in your area.
On 6PR's Weekend Wake Up, we're talking property.
We are indeed, and we'll just put our discussion about the property report in the West on hold. Got a couple of calls to attend to. First, Mark of North Frio. G'day, Mark.
How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to ask a question. We're looking at purchasing a block, and we've put a couple of offers in. They were obviously under, you know, a little bit under the price that they wanted. And I was just wondering, I don't believe, we haven't heard anything from the agent, and I'm just wondering if she's even presenting the offers to the, you know, to her client, and if they do have to, by law, present the offers to the client.
Well, certainly an agent, in general terms, has to act in the best interest of their principal, being their seller. So, yes, you do have to present all offers. Now, sometimes when a very low offer is going to be made on a property, I would just express that verbally to the seller rather than wasting the time writing it up if I knew very clearly it was nowhere near what they're prepared to accept. But, of course, it's good agency practice to pretty much to write up any offer, particularly in the current market. But, yes, the agent has an obligation to, number one, present all offers, keep their seller fully informed, do the best what is in the best interest of their seller. And the other thing on the back of the offer, you'll see in very small print, it says time is of essence. So offers should be dealt with as quickly as possible. But sometimes there's mitigating circumstances. The seller might be uncontactable, on a plane, travelling away, whatever it might be. But they should be dealt with in a timely manner.
Mm. Yeah, because I mean, we're only about... you know, I mean, now we're only about sort of, you know, 20 grand off, you know, off the...
What's the asking price?
It was $350 for this block.
Okay, so yeah, you're not too far away. So you think you're getting some action?
Well, I mean, I almost feel like going around and knocking on the owner's door.
Now, you've communicated this to the agent to say what's going on?
My wife's been dealing with her, and, yeah, and I'm just, you know, I sort of was just going to let my wife deal with it. But, yeah, I'm sort of starting to get a little bit peeved.
Well, it was a way to sort of get a bit of action. Just say, hey, look, if the offer's not dealt with today, I'm going to withdraw it. You might find the agent, you know.
Call their bluff.
Pulls a hamstring to go around to the owner, yeah.
I guess, look, I mean, there could be, Mark, I mean, I obviously we don't know the circumstances. Perhaps the owner, sometimes owners, sellers are hard to get, but the agent really should be communicating with you, telling you what's going on in the circumstances. And if you're that close, you would hope that, particularly in the current market where it's a bit softer, that the seller would at least come to the table, and even if it's not acceptance, give you a counter offer. That would be certainly the recommendation, I'm sure, of most selling agents in this market, that it's not a seller's market, it's a buyer's market. So if you get something in the vicinity, you will certainly want to be dealing with it and negotiating. So, look, the best bet is to go to the agent first and say, look, what's going on? You need to keep me informed, and perhaps call their bluff and say, look, if we don't get it, get a response within 24, 48 hours, we're going to pull our offer and start looking elsewhere.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for the advice.
Cheers. No, you're welcome, Mark. Thanks for calling. Paul at Kennington. G'day, Paul.
G'day, gents. Good listening to your program. I enjoy it when I'm not working.
Thank
I'd
you.
Like to just ask, probably might be a very basic question, then I'll hang up. Just for someone going in relation to land tax, how does land tax work, and how do you pay it? For example, you own your own home and you want to buy an investment property, or you want to buy an investment apartment, or you're going to look at buying a condo unit where you're buying one of the units and it's sitting on a big plot of land. How is land tax sort of calculated, and what do you have to look at, or what can you expect from the land tax?
It's good, very good question. Land tax is based on the unimproved value of the land. So that means that you won't be paying land tax on the full land value if you're buying in a condominium or unit situation. It's proportional to the effective land component of what you're buying. The other aspect with land tax, we sort of say generalise, is that it's also the Metropolitan Regional Improvement Tax, which in some cases is more than the actual land tax, and we sort of group it all in together, a slightly different issue. But land tax is payable on all property that you own other than your principal residence.
Yeah. And Paul, when you're starting out as an investor, obviously we've got a lot of investors on our books, your home is exempt, so you don't have to worry about that. It's not aggregated in the pool of assets. It's subject to land tax. When you buy your first investment property, the threshold is about $300,000 where there's no land tax payable. So generally, let's say you're buying something for $500,000, the land might be well less than $300,000. So quite often on your first investment property, there's not most people don't get a land tax bill. It's
multiple properties, that's where you get slapped.
Yeah, when you start to get the second one, and up to a million, it's not too bad. If you've got $1 million of land value, again, not the building, the land value, it's about
$1,750.
Yeah, it's about $1,750, including the Metropolitan Regional Improvement Tax. So it's starting to get a bit of a slug there. Look, there are clever ways you can do it. You can split it with your spouse. There are clever ways you can, I guess, get more thresholds. But look, for your first investment property, you're probably not going to have too much to worry about, Paul.
Yeah, good. He did hang up and listen. That was good. Thank you very much, Paul. Michelle, of Midland has sent a text. I signed a listing for $369,000. Without my knowledge or consent, the agent advertised from $300,000. Bait advertising at its worst, says Michelle. It robbed me of bargaining ability and undersold the dwelling. I am disgusted.
Right. Okay. Well, it's sounds like a fairly extreme example. An agent is required to, as we said before, act in the principal's best interest. And to take instructions, aren't they, Damien?
Absolutely.
You don't just assign a listing at a particular price and then decide, oh, I think I'll go and advertise it for some other price without getting agreement. So we don't know the full facts there. But in an overall thing, I've got to say, even if a property is underpriced, and occasionally it happens for whatever reason, if the agent handles it correctly, it should still sell for market price.
Yeah.
Because you'll get absolutely hammered with all this interest, provided they don't rush the process. Nevertheless, it shouldn't be advertised for a price less than what the seller is happy to have it advertised for. You're taking instructions. You work for the seller.
Exactly.
It's not the other way around.
If it was my property, my attitude would be the same as Michelle's, I think. It's from 300, and if I was a buyer, I'd think, well, I can probably pick that up for 315, 320. 20, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And clearly not prepared to accept that. What we don't know from that was what the property actually sold for and what those circumstances were.
Well, let us know, Michelle. Give us a call.
It'd be interesting to know. But certainly, on the face of that, you would say paid advertising.
Yeah, it's look, agents think they're generating interest, but look, and again, 99% of agents are fantastic. There's always a small percentage who perhaps don't understand the laws and what they're meant to do. And look, if you might do it from 350 and then knowing that the seller would be willing to take somewhere between 350 to 370, but 300 is a long way off the mark. And it's sending a message to the market that you just say, Harvey, you might pick it up for 310, 320.
Yep.
If the seller's not interested in selling it, that's a big problem for everyone involved. So a mistake on that. I would call the agent's principal. It may not be the representative, may not be the owner of the business. I'd be having a good chat to them about what's happened.
Good point. All right, Frank of Dianella, you'll be next.
Talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
Our elderly parents are so vulnerable to a sudden accident while at home. That's why I purchased a Care Alert smart dialer for my mum. I don't wake up in the early hours anymore worrying if mum is lying on the floor unable to get help. Because when mum presses her pendant, the Care Alert smart dialer will seek help from up to five persons of her choice. It can even be 000. And there's no monitoring fees ever. Call 1300 75 85 95 or visit carealert.com.au. Brilliant product.
I just bought my dream home. Quiet area with room for a pool and the cutest front verge.
Nice. Do you know if there's road widening planned? Because you might lose that front verge.
Oh.
Is it near an airport? Might not be as quiet as you think.
Oh.
Does it have underground infrastructure or in a bush forever zone? You may need to rethink that pool.
Before you buy, get a property interest report. Google Landgate or ask your real estate agent. Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Tony L Fresh Food Market is bringing farm fresh produce to you with the best selection of fresh fruit and veg. Crisp pink lady apples, $1.99 a kilo. Stringless celery, 99 cents a bunch. Australian blueberries, $3.99 a punnet. Seedless Valencia oranges, $1.49 a kilo. Some items pre-packed, prices may vary. Tony L Fresh Food Market, open 8 to 6, 7 days a week. 86 Hammond Road, Jandakot.
Malindo Air is now flying to Kuala Lumpur and beyond. Fly with Malindo Air and enjoy the Malindo experience with spacious legroom for your comfort. Free meals on board. Catch the latest movies and TV shows with our in-flight entertainment. Plus loads more to offer from just $229. Flights from 19th November. Book at malindoair.com. That's M-A-L-I-N-D-O. Or contact your friendly travel agent. T's and C's apply. Malindo Air, smarter way to travel.
It's the 2015 Tata Zenon Runout at Tata Motors. Right now, test drive a Tata Zenon and you'll go into the draw to win one of three $500 fuel vouchers. At participating dealers, only while stocks last, see tatatestdrive.com.au for terms and conditions.
Hamperworld Christmas gift hampers are now available at Australia Post. While you're at your local post office, paying a bill or picking up a parcel, you can now order Hamperworld Christmas gift hampers for staff, clients, family and friends. Inside a Hamperworld Christmas gift hamper, you'll find only Australian food from brands you know and love. Simply order at the counter and Australia Post will deliver the Christmas hamper anywhere in Australia. With more than 300 Australia Post offices, Hamperworld and Australia Post is making Christmas shopping easy.
G'day, it's Don Burke again. You've bought a beautiful plant and an amazing pot. Some advice, don't ruin it with a cheap potting mix. Scott's Osmocote Multipurpose is a superior potting mix that lets roots grow and create stronger, healthier plants. Formulated with a controlled release fertiliser and professional grade wetting agent that guarantees your plants flourish. Osmocote Multipurpose Potting Mix. The professional secret is out of the bag. Available at Bunnings. Find out more at scottsosmocote.com.
You can now suit yourself at Tony Barlow Menswear with $200 to $400 off all pure wool suits. World-class brands and our $200 to $400 off. Suit yourself now from just $399 only at Tony Barlow Menswear.
On the Weekend Wake-Up, we're talking property.
We are indeed, and in the studio, apart from Rob Drewitt and myself, is Damien Collins from Momentum Wealth. He is a buyer's agent. If you've got any questions about that, he's the man to direct them to. In the meantime, I think we're going to go to Frank of Dianella, wants to talk about land tax. Good day, Frank.
Harvey, good morning. Good morning, Paul. My question in relation to land tax is, We've just, obviously myself has just received the land tax bill for this financial year.
Yep, you picked yourself up off the floor and...
I had to do a bit better than that, actually, but I'm guessing there's probably another half a million people out there in the same position.
Yep.
My land tax this financial year has increased, without the aggregation, 50%.
Ooh. Yeah, yep.
To give you an example, we have a property in the northern suburbs valued on their books at $550,000. Normal land tax on that would be around about $900 to $1,000 for that sort of property.
Yep.
Last year's land tax bill on that with the aggregation was $4,600.
Yep.
This year is $7,300.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
Given that we're collecting something in the vicinity of about $15,000 or $16,000 in rent.
I know, it's another almost $3,000. Boom. Extra.
Yep. And by the time you pay everything else there, there's not much left, is there?
There's not much left now on there, but what's even more stunning and more painful is the fact that aggregating all the other properties we have on that same name.
Yep.
Now, I acknowledge that people need to pay land taxes and need to pay their fair share of land taxes.
Yep.
And I suggest that CPI or something around about CPI would be what most sensible people would expect. In this situation, well, in my situation, I can't speak for anybody else, but in my situation, where there's an increase over the last 3 years of something in the vicinity of about $70,000 in land tax, that's unsustainable. That affects tenants, landlords,
yep.
jobs, self-funded retirees. In fact, I'm ringing on behalf of self-funded retirees. The self-funded retirees that have two properties at the moment, both in their name. Both are subject to the aggregation. What that means for them at the moment is that their pension will be obviously not available to them because of the asset base.
Yep.
Their funding from the rent is actually going to be significantly reduced because of land tax and all the other fees they incur. So therefore, their pension or their living expenses now is going to be reduced significantly.
Mm-hmm.
The option for them at the moment is to either reverse mortgage their property or sell their property in a declining market.
Mm-hmm.
The question I ask the guys there, and ironically, what really irks me and a lot of other people is, Mr. Barnett had a go at all these the local governments in relation to the local governments were increasing their local government fees above CPI. Yeah. And I guess in his mind, he probably thought, if they increase it too much, they probably won't have enough money. This is the landlords have enough money to pay the 50% increase.
Yeah, pay the land tax. Mm.
My question to your guys there would be, what is the Real Estate Institute doing to assist everybody, and I mean everybody, I'm not just talking about landlords, I'm not talking about wealthy people, I'm talking about people with jobs, tenants, everybody, to lobby the government in relation to doing something about this. And by the way, I have lobbied a number of politicians, a number of them have been very supportive.
Yeah.
My local MP, Mr. Sullivan, Hatton, Ben White, the whole lot of them have been very supportive.
Some of the Liberal, members of the Cabinet are realising they've just gone a bit too far with this particular, another increase.
Mm. Definitely, Frank. And look, we definitely are lobbying. One of our pillars of advocacy this year is on behalf of property owners in relation to the amount of taxes. And look, it's just getting out of control, particularly the aggregation. That's the part where, you know, you're sitting there, you've got a property with $550,000, you're paying $7,300. That's getting upwards of 1.5% of the value of, and that's just the land of, when you're talking about 15%, 15,000 rent, it starts to make it unviable. And so, you know, if there's going to be a land tax, it needs to be, you know, flatter and less brutal on investors. And if ultimately, again, if we don't support investors, residential individual investors in the market, ultimately what we're going to have is more social housing. which costs the government substantial amounts of money. And so really, yes, land tax is here to stay. Unfortunately, we're not going to get rid of that anytime soon, but it needs to be looked at as a fairer system. And certainly the continual increases every year have got to stop. So we are actively lobbying. And as sad as this is for everybody, you're not the only one, Frank. A lot of people have been slugged. So certainly from our point of view at the Real Estate Institute, we're going to be taking it up more and more with government. And they need to keep their hands off land tax and start to look at also some things for the aggregation rules, I say, are very, very punitive. If you've got a couple of properties, all of a sudden, you, as you say, you're paying thousands upon thousands for each property, and it starts to make it unviable.
Yep. Have you lodged an objection, Frank?
I've actually written to the Finance and Treasury, and their response is basically they're following government policy.
Stick it a lump it, probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm indicating to people there that are listening, if you have an issue with this, you need to contact your backbenchers.
Yes.
And your backbenchers need to put pressure on Mr. Barnett, Mr. Hahn, and the rest of these people, indicating to them that there's people out there are going to be suffering. I mean, we're in a declining real estate market. We're in a declining workforce market. Everything seems to be...
You're exactly right, Frank. And lobbying is what's needed, and that's very good advice to the suffering property owners out there.
I would say so. Good on you, Frank. Thank you. Now, from Ben in Wembley on the text, 19999677, can you purchase properties in retirement villages to rent? If so, is there any market for this? I wouldn't have thought so.
No. We see a lot of retirement villages are actually leases and obviously for owner-occupiers.
Exactly.
So you'd be talking more about perhaps over 55 strata complexes where, yes, you can purchase it. The buyer can be anybody, but the occupant must be over 55. And there's a number of those around.
Or but over 45 in the case of lifestyle villages.
Or lifestyle villages. But lifestyle villages and dedicated retirement villages, generally they are leases. And leases for the occupant.
Yeah, they're run by the big operators, and so they're only going to lease them to, not to investors, they're going to lease them to owner-occupiers. Even look, the over 55s, yes, there's a market for that, but over 55s don't have to live in those complexes, they can rent anywhere. From an investment point of view, we've looked at it, we don't think that's the place for the best investment.
Well, you know, with advising your clients.
We've certainly looked
at
it.
But are you allowed to, if you wanted to buy into, let's say, Affinity, remember when we did our outside broadcast down
I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, I would have thought so too. Maybe if anyone from Affinity is listening, give us a call, 922-11882. But you'd be sort of subleasing your lease, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and that's not what they're really after. They're looking for, I don't know that particular project, but the way the vast majority of them are run is that it's a big operator. They provide all the facilities. Yeah. You pay a fee to go in. When you move out or pass on, you get some of that fee back. And
you pass on to your descendants. You can do that.
Well, it's a leasehold. You actually get your money back to some degree, again, depending on how it's structured. So, look, it's not a place for investors. It's a place really for owner-occupiers.
Yeah. True. Okay. 9221882. And if you call now, we'll be able to fit you into the program. We're running out of time, but we still have a little bit left. But we do want to talk about today's West Australian article, the property report. Your overall summation of the property market. I mean, it tells us something we already knew, that the median price has gone down.
Softened. It's a nice word for falling. Yes, has come back, hasn't it, David?
It has. It's, look...
There's been an adjustment.
Adjustment in prices. Look, quarter by quarter, I guess, Harvey, just we always want to be careful with that because the median price is the one in the middle in a suburb and across Perth. So what can happen on a quarterly basis is that you get a whole lot of low-end sales. Doesn't mean the average price of your suburb has come down by that much, or it just means that the one in the middle happens to be lower. So quarterly figures, we just got to watch them and not take them as absolute gospel of exactly what happened to every property in the market, but it gives an idea of trend. And look, the trend is, yes, prices have softened, as Rob said, but when you look at it, I was over in Sydney and Melbourne not too long ago, and we are a third of the price in Sydney, what you would get, and at least half of Melbourne. So
do you think some of those investors will start to be looking at the Perth market? There's opportunities here.
We're starting to see, in our office, we're starting to see only a trickle so far, but I expect we'll start to see some of the savvier interstate investors start looking at the opportunities here. And look, unfortunately, we're all very, human nature is sentiment, and we're looking at what's happening tomorrow, and we're going, oh, the mining's not going so well, et cetera, et cetera. But there's still the fundamentals long-term for Perth are fantastic. If you've got a 10-year horizon, which you need to be in a property investment space, long-term fundamentals are great. We're just in the cycle, and Perth is more volatile than some of the other cities around the country.
Mm. Looking at the softening in percentage terms, that can be a bit misleading too, as Damon has already suggested, because are you looking at the upper end of the market? Are you looking at the lower end of the market?
Yeah. Well, we generally refer to the median house price, which, you know, if there's 1,000 sales, it's the 500th sale. Mm. So it gives an overall broad indication, and that's almost 6% fall in the past 12 months.
But that doesn't tell you whether it's 6% for the absolute top of the wazza or 6% for the very reasonably
that's
priced.
Right. And that's where you need your local RERA agent to drill down as to the particular area, the type of property, and how it's been affected. But generally speaking, you could say across the board prices have pegged back.
Definitely.
So there's a very strong message there for sellers. There's buyers out there. You drive around, there's plenty of under offer and sold stickers. Mm. It's not like the market's not doing anything.
No.
It's just that the buyers are looking for value. So you've got to price it right.
And we're seeing, when we're out in the, you know, our team of buyers agents out in the market, if a property is well priced, it's got some potential for potentially some value add some way. We're sometimes still seeing 4 and 5 offers in the first week or two. So there's still buyers out there. They're certainly a lot savvier, and they know that they've got the upper hand. So as Rob said, if you're a seller and you want to sell, you've got to meet the market. It's no point hanging out for high prices in this market. It's just not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Okay, 9221882. Your last chance to have a chat to us. Karen of Edgewater will be our first caller after the break, and Satty sends us an email. She doesn't want to ask a question, just says she's enjoying the show. Woke up with us.
Talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
Gary Anson here from the morning program, where you had your say on the Christian school that turned on a 7-year-old student because she has a gay father.
So really, the school should be saying, look, you stay with us, we've got the right way. Just because your dad's doing it this way doesn't necessarily mean that you're trapped.
You actually suggested that what he believed in, it was an extremist. Yeah. I don't agree with that at all.
I just want to make one thing clear to people that say that it's a choice and it's abnormal. It's actually not.
Join us next week for your chance to win a $100 voucher to our Pub and Restaurant of the Year. Mornings from 8:30 weekdays here on 882 6PR.
Oh, the whole street's out. Except for Barry.
Energy Authority.
Yeah, look, the power's down everywhere, except for the guy next door.
Probably a Gemmell home, sir. They're not really affected by blackouts. Don't worry, your power will be back on in a few hours.
Great.
Gemmell Home's new home energy system creates and stores free electricity. It's like your own personal power station, so you'll never be caught without power again. Find out more at gemmell.com.au. BR11703.
What's better than enjoying the cool breeze of a Panasonic ducted aircon on a scorching Perth day? Watching your bonus 40-inch Panasonic TV in air-conditioned comfort, that's what. Right now, when you purchase a Panasonic ducted aircon with Aussie Air, you'll say hello to a new Panasonic full HD LCD TV, valued at $949. Ah, Aussie Air. Because life's too short to be uncomfortable. See aussieair.com.au. Conditions apply.
The world's best are about to hit Perth for the Hopman Cup. Catch tennis superstars Serena Williams, Andy Murray, Nick Kyrgios, and for his very last time on court in Perth, Leighton Hewitt.
Come on!
With more Aussies in action than ever before, now's your chance to get behind the green and gold.
Come on!
So come on, Perth. Don't miss your chance to be there when the world's best are in your city.
Come on!
The Hopman Cup, January 3 to 9. Book now through Ticketek.
People have purchased property in the past and been disappointed after learning they couldn't use the land for what they intended. Don't let this happen to you. A Landgate property interest report can help. The report merges property interest information from a range of government agencies like aircraft noise, plans for road widening, proximity to noise and odours from intensive agriculture, and many more. It's in your best interest to find out property interests before you buy. Google Landgate for details or ask your local real estate agent. Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
The new Woolworths Rewards Card is here. It's not about points. It's simply money off your shopping. All you need to do is buy any product with an orange ticket and scan your card to start earning Woolworths dollars. When your balance reaches $10, scan your card and we'll automatically take $10 off your next eligible shop at Woolworths, Metro or BWS stores. So look out for your new Woolworths Rewards Card to shop, scan and watch your savings add up.
Settlement agents, also known as conveyancers, are professionally trained to represent sellers and buyers in the settlement process, transferring the legal ownership of property. The Australian Institute of Conveyancers WA recommends you appoint a licensed settlement agent before you buy or sell your property. Consumers have the right to choose their own settlement agent. You don't have to use the one recommended by a real estate agent. Head to aicwa.com.au and enter your postcode to find a settlement agent in your area.
On 6PR's Weekend Wake Up, we're talking property.
Until 10 o'clock and after the news, Sports World with Carl and the boys. Big day and a wet day over in Melbourne for Derby Day, mate.
Yes, and it's not had a major part in the first couple of races, half though. It's a soft five, so there is still some showers, though, so we'll see what it's like later on. Tarzino is the favourite at $3.60 currently on Tab Touch, so five group ones, and the first gets underway in race four today. We've got plenty to talk about. Matthew Pavic playing on, Anthony Morabito delisted, the fixtures released this week, the illicit drugs policy changes. The test squad's been announced. Pitch a disgrace in the lead-up game. Match called off because it was substandard for any cricket match, let alone an international match. Well, it's just... Anyway, I'll save my... my five cents for after the 10 o'clock news, because you've got other things to talk about. And then we've got a big rugby World Cup final tonight, Australia and New Zealand. There's a lot of banter around our office, given that there's a couple of Kiwis here. So let's hope that the Aussies can reign supreme.
Have you got a nice new present?
Yeah, I have. It's called the BigFatSnapper.com. It's a bag that's made out of...
Fisher's man bag.
Yeah, it's a Fisher's man bag. So it's a ripper. Yeah, it's something that I am going to follow up on my boat dive fishing show. So next Saturday, you'll have to get up. Well, you're up early, I know, but you'll have to tune in between 5 and 6 to find out what it's about.
Good on you, Borry. Thanks, mate. Come out up after 10. Last chance to... talk to us on the program, Talking Property, 922-11882. Hello, Karen at Edgewater.
Yes, good morning. I'm just inquiring as to whether there's any obligation for landlords or property managers to disclose problems with next-door neighbours when they attempt to rent out their property.
What, you mean like barking dogs, etc., etc.?
Social issues.
Look, Karen, it's a difficult one because a property manager is obviously going to have a look at the property individually, but they can't be checking every neighbour and everything's circumstances that's going on. If there's council bylaws and council regulations, and if it's state housing, the State Housing Commission, there's other people you can take it up with. So I'm certainly think that as a property manager is going to be in a difficult position. They're not at the property, they don't get to see all these things. So really, look, obligation is if they knew about it, I guess, and it was a serious issue, then perhaps. But by and large, you're going to find the property managers really focus on the individual property itself. They should know everything about that property, but they just can't possibly know everything that goes on in the neighbourhood. So if there are antisocial issues, you need to take that up with the local council, or if it's a state housing property, take it up with them.
Okay.
Yeah, property management, you need to be very careful because, discrimination laws and so on, to be, making a judgment on certain aspects.
Karen, let's cut to the chase. What's the problem?
Yeah, it depends on the individual circumstance.
I think other than domestic violence and the raucous that goes with that continually, there are other mental health issues such as mail being taken, encroachment upon the property, looking in cars and... Apparently, they're very nice people when they have or haven't taken the medication. It seems the whole street is aware of the issue. So it made me think, well, when the house was leased, the owners were aware of the issue. And my daughter-in-law is heavily pregnant and is on her own at times. And I'm a little bit concerned.
As you say, they're nice most of the time. Look, it's a very difficult issue, and I just I think it's hard for the property manager to put them in that position. And I guess that's the if you're a potential buyer or renter, maybe you want to go and do a bit of your own further investigation before taking up a property. But I think it's a bit hard to put that on the property manager.
All righty, thanks for your advice. Appreciate that.
You are more than welcome. Thank you very much indeed, Karen. We're getting close to being out of time. Damien, just wanted to ask you in regard to your operation as a buyer's agent, what sort of fees apply to those who seek your services?
Harvey, we charge a fixed fee depending on the scope of work. So if someone wants a rather large development site and asking us to do feasibility analysis and a whole raft of planning issues, that that can certainly be quite substantial. But for your typical investor who's looking for a passive investment property, it's similar to what you... We do it as a fixed fee rather than a percentage, but it works out roughly what you'd pay a selling agent, you know, that 2.5% to 3%.
Right.
And certainly our clients find it great value because, you know, they're busy in their own roles. They don't know what the best suburbs are. They don't know what the best type of property is. And we find they see tremendous value in the service. So it's not for everybody. As I say, for most homeowners, you want to go and look at yourself. But certainly for investors, unfortunately, most investors buy in the neighbourhood near them. Now, what might be a great area to live in may not be the best area for investment. And just a few percent difference in capital growth over a 10-year period of time can be a couple $100,000. So really, we've got to be looking for those next areas that are going to demographically change, rejuvenate. That's how you get outperformance in the market.
It's an interesting mindset, isn't it, that when people do invest, they kind of think, I'd like to sort of be able to drive past the property and sort of keep my eye on it. No need to do that.
No, I've got a lot of investment properties, and I don't think I've been past any of them for years because I've got good property
managers. Well managed, you don't need to.
Got good property managers. I get inspection reports. They send me pictures. So, you don't need to. If it's well managed, you get put it in the hands of a good property manager. You've got to take the emotion out of it. Look, the property industry's evolved. It was only 20 years ago people didn't get advice on financial planning or investments. Mm. They did it themselves. Mm. Now, that whole industries evolve. Property is still very much largely a do-it-yourselfer, and people make some really bad mistakes. You've got to seek the proper advice before investing.
And how do we get in touch with you at Momentum Wealth?
Our website, www.momentumwealth.com.au, or you can call us on Monday, 9221 6399.
And you're in East Perth. You're only around the corner.
Very close to here, Harvey. Yeah, nice, excellent. Easy trip down the road.
Good. We know where to go for a cup of coffee when we're in here on weekdays. Rob, what's happening with you at Druid Shed First National Double View?
I've got a heap of auctions today, which is great. I'm at 11 a.m. I'm heading down to Swanbourne and Claremont Crescent there for Jamie Harrington from Altus. Nice rear duplex there. And then I've got an absolute cracker at 12 noon in Mount Lawley, 12 Woodroyd Street, Mount Lawley, for Jan Wilkie from Homestead. An original home, original Californian bungalow. Wow. People had been there for over 60 years, untouched. Absolutely fantastic, 900 plus square metres. So a lot of people interested in that. That is going to be a fantastic auction. And then for Salt Property, South Perth, and then to Booragoon, and then home for a coldie, I think, later.
Well, you will have earned it. Good on you. We'll see you next week, Rob. We'll see you again in the studio, Damien.
Thanks,
thank you very much. Again, congratulations on being elected to Deputy President of REWA. Our winner today is Mary of Warnbrush. She wins $100 cash made possible by Craig Gemmell of Gemmell Homes. Thanks to Kamer for producing our program. Stand by now for the news and Sports World.
Talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.